Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Just destroyed a ball to deep left field and gone. Maybe as high as it was far. There's a fly ball deep left field for Frankie Lindor, and it is gone to Souvenir City. Lindor with home run number 25, and he ties the Indians' record for most home runs by a shortstop in a single season. Yon sends a high drive, deep right field, Judge is out of room, it's out of here. Yon Gomes with an opposite field, two out, two run homer. And that might just be the knockout punch.
You know, we got after them. It's a good way to play. It's a long day, but it makes for a really good day. And they get a well-deserved day off, and then we'll try to do it again.
Any offense that has a chance to be successful, you must get consistent play from the quarterback, and you must, you know, have a guy that has the ability to make the other 10 guys around him better, and I certainly believe Logan has that ability, and he proved a lot last year off the charts statistically, and, you know, I think his leadership skills were probably a little underrated last year in what he was able to do and accomplish in his first full season of being a starter. If you're looking at expectations and you're looking at our season coming about, you did lose your leading rusher from last year. You lost the top guy in receptions from last year. You lost your leading tackler on defense. You lost the leading interception leader on defense. You lost your punt returner and your leading kick returner off of last year's team. Let's reset and understand where we are. We're a brand new team. We have a lot of lofty goals and expectations, and we feel comfortable where we're at. We are definitely not a finished product yet. We're looking for this first game to be a measuring stick to find out exactly where we're at and where we can improve on and where we can go from here. But I like where our team's at right now in the sense of I think they've bought into the concept of owning each day and be getting better at the skill set necessary to play productive and winning football.
Have not heard of Florida announce who their starting quarterback would be. We'd love to have that information. No, we're not announcing our starting quarterback. As I said before, people make a lot of big deal about our roster or not announcing a starting quarterback. I have not seen a starting quarterback come out of Florida. Never any mention of that. Very interesting. So, yes, we'd like to have that information from them. I'm sure they'd like to have it from us, and right now neither is giving that information.
I don't think they're going to play for the Big Ten title this year. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. So when you think of Michigan, you think of a great Michigan teams, right? You think of Michigan battles with Ohio State. So if this year rolls around again, and this year they don't finish better than third in their division, I don't care if they lose five games by 2 points. You know what that does? You know what that gives you? So what? I mean, at some point you say, yeah, he's turned the program around. Yeah, he gets in the headlines because he's a quirky guy. This is Michigan. Michigan, this isn't some smaller school that he's trying to lift up. This isn't P.J. Fleck trying to bring Minnesota into the Big Ten and trying to build that team. This is Michigan. So at what point do you say, yeah, all that stuff's cute and good, but you know what we need to do? Beat Ohio State.
I feel very comfortable with the progress made to say I'm confident. I'm just kind of a warrior to make sure that we're covering everything that it takes to win a game. It's very clear around here what it does. It's follow our plan to win. It's from that point forward last week. We challenge one game constantly, which I think we do as well as anybody. Those are how you go win a game, and that's our focus right now. Last year was very alarming because our whole team was new. This year's a little more comfort because guys have been in the environment before. This is a whole different set of circumstances because it's on the road of a Big Ten game. But we practice as such. And like I said, Billy Price is snapping a ball to JT everybody as long as they stay healthy, and that's a little more comforting.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Can you believe that it is game day?
Okay, guys.
Technically, I could only dig half that because I didn't hear the "can you" part. Let's hit that one more time.
Can you dig it?
That's kind of more of what I'm talking about here. Game day, the college football season gets underway tonight for the Ohio State Buckeyes. The college football season gets underway tonight for the Toledo Rockets. Thursday starts aren't exactly the norm. It isn't exactly what we're used to, but you know what? We didn't have to wait till Saturday. So for some reason, Kush, this just seems like a whole hell of a lot of fun. Buckeyes and Hoosiers, Toledo and Elon, whatever Elon is. And we got previews of both of those games coming up today.
Yeah, indeed we do. And that's one of the nice parts about the college football opening weekend. They've done this for, if you notice, the last couple years. They purposely schedule it on around Labor Day weekend because, of course, that's coming up for everybody this weekend. So there's now going to be at least one college football game every day through Monday night.
That's right. Friday, Saturday, or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's it's smart. They do it that way. And you know what? Obviously, as we talked with Paul Keels, I think it was, about this, and he said, yeah, I think it was Paul.
Yeah, it was Paul.
That in the MAC, of course, you play on whatever night that you can get on national TV. This is just what you got to do, and that's fine. And Jason Candle knows that. You heard a little bit of Jason Candle in the montage there. Mike Jinks knows that. Everybody in the MAC knows it. This is just what you do. But it's a little different when you start having, you know, the number two team preseason ranked in the country going on a Thursday night to start the season. But that's what you have with Urban Meyer's Buckeyes as they're at Bloomington to take on the Hoosiers in their first game of the season. So it'll be really interesting. You heard a little bit in that montage, not only, well, baseball, obviously. How about giving up a little bit to the Cleveland Indians, who suddenly find themselves, did you notice this, Jim? We talked about this about a couple weeks ago, I guess, that you were kind of saying that the first round matchups are pretty much set, barring something crazy. You know, that the
sure looked like it a few weeks ago.
What's that?
Sure looked like it a few weeks ago.
The Indians and the Red Sox were going to be meeting in the first round, and then the wild card winner of the wild card game is going to take on the top seeded Astros, which, you know, kind of seemed that way, but. After beating the living hell out of the boy, out of the Bronx Bombers. That was Yankee pitching yesterday in the doubleheader. Sweeping the doubleheader and sweeping the series. Suddenly you play, and now what, 7 wins in a row? Or is that 8?
That's 7 in a row this time.
7 wins in a row. A 19-win month of August. 19-9 for the month if you're scoring at home. Suddenly you look up, you realize there is only 3 games of separation between the Astros, who rolled out from literally from Jump Street in early April when the season started and just started dominating and putting a huge record together, looking exactly like what you said, the team that's clearly going to be the top seed in the playoffs, sealed their division a long time ago. Not so much. There's only 3 games of separation between them and the Indians. And this, Jim, I want to pause, you know, the can you dig it's and the silly sound effects to point out the obvious here. Houston is in a very trying situation right now. The city of Houston is underwater. I've been watching that situation very, very closely. I have been actually helping some friends of mine in the radio industry down there in Houston over the course of the last week, since last Friday is kind of when Hurricane Harvey came ashore Friday night into Saturday morning and struck, made landfall. And it wasn't, of course, the hurricane force winds that really have affected Houston. It was the catastrophic rainfall, which is just, I mean, there's no way to quantify the rain. I will tell you this. I read this earlier today, and I don't want to get too far off on the tangent here. Obviously, I'm talking about the impact of the storm on the Astros, because while, you know, baseball standings don't mean squat when you're talking about life and death over there, we are, you know, we're a sports show and we're a sports station, so we talk about the sports angle involved in this. But before I do that with the Astros, I saw a stat today. That, and I'm going to have to try to memorize or recall it. I didn't memorize it. But if you take all of the water that has fallen on Houston since Saturday, so that's what, 5 days? It's about 20 trillion gallons. Just throw that there. 20 trillion gallons. What does that mean? You can't understand what that means. You can't just say, well, is that like a lake? How big of a lake? How wide of a lake? How deep of a lake? You know what I mean? You can't do it that way. So the best thing that I saw to really kind of let you know what is happening to Metro Houston is this. If you were to put walls around Washington, D.C., which is about 68 square miles, if I have this correct, if you were to just put walls around it, and dump 20 trillion gallons of water into that, it would rise inside those walls as high as the Empire State Building. That would be the water. Now, obviously, the Empire State Building is in D.C., but you have to do this for the comparison, because D.C. just gives you an idea of about the size that if you were to put 20 million gallons in, it would go all the way up that high. Now, fortunately, metropolitan Houston is a lot bigger than, geographically expansive than Washington, D.C., which is, of course, very small and very condensed. It's spread out. As a matter of fact, here's another kind of just interesting stat. There are about 7 major U.S. cities that you could fit inside of metropolitan Houston, including Washington, D.C., the island of Manhattan, San Diego, California, Chicago, Illinois, one of the biggest cities in the country population-wise. You can fit all of these within the metropolitan Houston area. So it's wildly expansive, but that also explains how hard and how long the cleanup is going to be is going to take, because it's going to be so spread out, the damage. So at any rate, it's more than catastrophic. It's more than epic. If you're looking for an adjective, the one that I keep going back to is biblical, in large part because what the National Weather Service people are calling it, they're calling it an 800-year storm, and that's an actual measurement that they do. The likelihood of a storm hitting within 100 years is X. Well,
right.
This type of storm is the type that you wouldn't expect, or that statistically speaking, would happen once in 800 years. So I'm calling it biblical because, you know, you go back 2,000 years and you literally are in the Bible times. And so it's just biblical in proportion. There have been close to 3 dozen deaths so far. They expect to find, sadly, many, many more once the water starts to recede, which isn't going to happen for a while. They had new evacuees this morning, new evacuations from south of Houston this morning, because one of their massive reservoirs is about to spill over. Even though it's not raining anymore, the water is still building up because of the drainage underneath being insufficient, and so it's kind of pushing the current existing water level in certain reservoirs and levees higher, and it's pushing water over the top, so it's going to threaten about, I don't know exactly how many thousands of people, but Fort Bend County, an entire county there this morning was evacuating. So anyway, the point to all of this is, obviously, that there is devastation in the city of Houston. It forced the Astros to play their last series against the Rangers down in Florida, because the Rangers would not accept the games in their building in exchange for flopping the second to last series of the season back to Houston to try to make this, you know, kind of even and easy. So they were forced to a neutral site down in Florida. And, you know, I don't want to sit here and say they won or lost because of where they were or what kind of an impact it is. But let's just be honest. Now, getting back to the sports side of this, since that's the kind of show we do, they're going to finally return to their own ballpark, Minute Maid, on Saturday against the Mets. And it's uncertain, you know, what kind of a day that's going to be there, how many people will be able to get through the floodwaters of Houston to come to the baseball game, whether they'll have either a huge lift from a city in peril, or it will be incredibly depressing and distracting because of the city in peril. So I bring all of that up again, trying to be very, very sensitive to the context here. And I am very sensitive to the situation because, quite frankly, I have a lot of very close personal friends in radio down in Houston, Texas. And I worry about their families. And that's why I've helped them in a number of ways, because there have been some incredible needs that they have there. So this is truly, I hope you understand, not intended to be an insensitive in any way to the reality of death and destruction and survival and water rescues. Some 16,000 people rescued from the water by boat or by helicopter. Some 36,000 people living in shelters now, you know, the situation continues to develop. And in some cases, in some ways, worsen. But from the sports side of things, they have decided in Houston that they are going to continue playing baseball there in Houston in Minute Maid Park on Saturday. So I guess it's okay for us to say, I wonder if this will make it easier or more difficult for them to win games. And if the answer is B, a little more difficult because of the distraction that they're all dealing with, families and friends of theirs, the players themselves, so terribly impacted by this, you just wonder how that's going to affect their own performances and thus the standings, which brings me back full circle now to my point about the Indians, who are on fire and just playing not just a hot streak, I don't think, Jim, but playing outstanding baseball in virtually every facet, despite injuries still plaguing them, 19-9 in the month of August, dominating teams like the Yankees on the road. And they could very well track down the Astros, and maybe by the time September is over, you got the top seed in the American League.
It's actually possible now, and this is something I would not have thought of just a couple of weeks ago, and now you're in a situation where, as you pointed out, after the doubleheader sweep yesterday to complete the sweep against the Yankees, more on that, by the way, in a bit, you're just a couple of games out, and I didn't think that was even possible. And even just forgetting them for a quick second, you're a half game right now ahead of Boston for that number two spot, which, of course, if that still ends up happening, you still would rather, be in Cleveland as opposed to starting in Fenway. So there's that right there. But for the Astros part of what you're saying, this would just be the icing on the cake, kind of, because the Astros have been just below 500 since the All-Star break. And that goes back much farther than the whole Harvey thing. They have not been playing well in this second half of the season. And so, yeah, to me, it's, you wonder if this whole catastrophe for them mentally on the field is going to be the icing on the cake kind of thing.
Yeah. Maybe just kind of push them over the top, well, or under the top, I guess, and into second place maybe. And or even possibly in the third, depending what Boston does.
That means as of right now, it's 3-3.5 is all Houston's up on both of them.
Yeah.
So it's clumped up now suddenly.
So basically, the American League's top seed is in play. The ability to host the American League championship game or a championship series, I should say, if it comes down to it, it is up for grabs, depending on who has the best September. So anyway, just to kind of throw that out there. And by the way, I guess this is as good a time as any to remind you about the opportunity to donate $10, just $10 to helping the rescue and recovery and rebuilding efforts down there in Southeast Texas, and also Louisiana now being hit and affected by this as well. But this historic destruction, they need money. That's just, there's no way to say it. They have a lot of donations of goods, but they need money. Text the Red Cross with a $10 donation by sending the word Harvey to 90999. 90999. You probably heard that number before. It's all over. This is what they're trying to do to help the Red Cross, help those who are in need in this area. Text the word Harvey to 90999, and it's only $10 from you. That could mean millions to them. So at any rate, I kind of got off onto that baseball thing because of the montage. Coming back to the rest of it, we heard from Jason Candle there, and we're going to hear from Jason Candle in much more detail. Coming up in about, we'll call it 15 minutes, at about 3:40, we are going to hear from the head coach of the UT Rockets. Rockets take on Elon in the first game of the season tonight, and we are definitely looking forward to see if the Rockets, who very well may still be the best team in the MAC, I think they were they not, according to the media?
According to the media polls, they took the most votes for West Division and title game.
And title game, there you go. So a lot of expectations. How about that instead of pressure? A lot of expectations on Jason Candle's Rockets. We're going to catch up with Coach Candle, conversation with you, Jim Cushman, coming right up. Then, in the 4 o'clock hour, at about 4:40, an hour after that, we are going to talk Michigan football, because John Jansen, former Wolverine and former Lion and now color guy with the Michigan Radio Network, will preview the top 25 showdown. How about that? Again, just a weird, strange start in a number of ways to some Big Ten seasons, including the Buckeyes tonight at Indiana in conference. And the Wolverines, rather than with what you might call a tune-up foe, they take on number 17, preseason-ranked number 17, Florida. So 11 against 17, one of three battles of top 25 games in week number one, the highlight of which is number one versus number three, Alabama and Florida State. But anyway, we'll talk Michigan with John Jansen. You heard a little bit from Jim Harbaugh there as well. You heard a little bit from Mike Golic talking about how pressure is on Harbaugh to start getting some of these W's in big games like Ohio State games to really kind of cement what he is building at Michigan. So we'll get into that. You also heard from Urban Meyer about game number one as well. So we have a lot of college football to talk about. And right now, we've got stats to talk about. Kush?
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket presents the Wild Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Your Buffalo Wild Wings Wild Stat of the Day. Yesterday, the Indians did something rare, relatively speaking, sweeping the Yankees. Monday's win plus the doubleheader sweep yesterday means for the first time since April 7th, through the 9th of 1989. You know what else happened in 1989, Kush? That was the year Major League came
out.
Yes,
it was.
The joke movie about the Indians making the playoffs came out. Anyway, April 7th through the 9th, 1989, the Indians swept the Yankees, not just in New York, but in any three- or four-game series. It's been that long. It's also been even longer since they swept them in Cleveland, as the last time that happened was September 10th through the 13th back in 1970. So there you have it, your Buffalo Wild Wings Wild Stat of the Day. All right, going to get a quick time out here. Bottom of the hour, Sports Center coming up. Then we are also going to have a conversation, as I mentioned, with Jason Candle, the head coach of the UT Rockets. That's all ahead and much, much more right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
To the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Yeah, we're talking a lot of college football this hour, but you know what else? The NFL preseason nearly done, and that means the regular season nearly here, and that means fantasy football is here, and FanDuel is back. FanDuel, your fantasy football for everyday fans. You don't have to be a fantasy expert that's been putting out rosters and running their own leagues for the last 10 years. No, you can play as a novice, a beginner, or maybe a younger veteran learning it still, or the king of your own league. There's new contests starting every single week for just about everybody. No busted seasons because one of your prime picks got injured in week one. You start a new roster every single week. And there's something for everybody. Contests start at just $1. So just pick a contest, choose a roster, and then watch your score in real time. Did you realize that over 2.5 million people have already won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel? You can be one of them. It's fantasy football for everybody. Check it out for yourself. Have a great time. We do every year. And I think we're going to start a listener league perhaps as early as next week, getting ready for week one of the NFL season. So if you'd like to play with us, we'll get a listener league going on FanDuel.com, and we'll have a good time taunting one another on Monday and Tuesdays right here on the Extravaganza. Get to FanDuel right now. If you are a new user and you get a free entry, if you are a new user, you do get a free entry, rather, into the NFL Sunday Million. That's over $1 million in cash prizes available. All you got to do is make your first deposit on FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com and sign up with the promo code France. That's my name, F-R-A-N-T-Z. FanDuel.com, promo code France, void where prohibited. All right, so that's a lot of cool NFL stuff, but we also have college football to talk about, and as we have been mentioning, the UT Rockets open up their season as the favorite in the MAC, according to the preseason media poll and survey. Favorite not only to win the West, but also to win the MAC championship game. That's a lot of expectations for head coach Jason Candle, who discusses the start of the season and beyond now with our own Jim Cushlin.
Jim Cushlin with you, running through a whole bunch of our college football guests over the course of the week. We talk Buckeyes, we talk Wolverines, we talk Falcons. Now it's time to talk about the Toledo Rockets, who opened the season a little bit later on this evening at the Glass Bowl against FCS Elon. And to help us talk about all things Rocket football as we head into this 2017 season, a season that has some interesting tidbits to it and predictions all around about how good the Rockets may be this year, we welcome back in once again to the program. We talked with him, of course, a lot last season and doing it again weekly here this year. We welcome in the head coach of the Toledo Rockets, Jason Candle, back with us on the program. Good afternoon, Coach. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Great to be with you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, and it's an outstanding time to be talking with you and getting ready for this Rockets football season. And it's a very, very interesting one in the fact that, you know, looking over a lot of things, you guys are bringing some guys back, highly anticipated by a lot. There are a lot of picks for what it's worth. Have the Rockets as one of the favorites in the West Division and overall. And you guys definitely got some stars coming back. And let's start on the offensive side of the ball, if we can, Coach. Logan Woodside, the senior, back at quarterback. You name a watch list, he's on it at this point in time. How important is it to have a quarterback like this back for one more season?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, you know, you obviously, any offense it starts with that guy in that position. That any offense that has a chance to be successful, you must get consistent play from the quarterback, and you must, you know, have a guy that has the ability to make the other 10 guys around him better. And I certainly believe Logan has that ability. And, you know, he proved a lot last year. You know, he was off the charts statistically. And, you know, I think his leadership skills were probably a little underrated last year in what he was able to do and accomplish in his first full season as being a starter. You know, so that leads you, you know, leads to some excitement. And like you said, he's on a bunch of watch lists and things like that. And whatever those are worth. I mean, if those were worth anything, and we'd already have a lot of stuff in our trophy case right now. But, it is what it is. And I think when you have expectations, though, I think you can look at it one of two ways. You can either hide from them, or you can tackle them head on and understand that you probably got to this point for good reason. I mean, guys have put in a lot of hard work and a lot of effort to get to this point in time, and got good senior leadership like you talked about with the quarterback and Logan, and it's going to be one of our captains this year, and certainly looking forward to a big year from him in this senior class.
And you mentioned a couple times just there, Coach, the leadership, and that's interesting from a guy who, as you mentioned, last year, first full season as the starter at quarterback in his junior year, and he put up just utterly ridiculous numbers, broke a couple of Rocket records, so now you have him back for a senior year, and obviously he's not the only senior, especially on that offensive side of the ball, which is where a lot of damage is expected to take place, not just from a Logan Woodside throw the ball, but you have Terry Swanson back, you have Cody Thompson back, John Vay Johnson, so I mean, this is a skill position set with your club that's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, it's easy to be enamored by the players that are returning, you know, but I think the reality of this is as you look at, if you're looking at expectations and you're looking at our season coming about, you know, you did lose your leading rusher from last year. You lost the top guy in receptions from last year. You lost your leading tackler on defense. You lost the leading interception leader on defense. You lost your punt returner and your leading kick returner off of last year's team. So before we get too far ahead and get into how Toledo is going to run away with everything and win all our games by 50 or 60 points, let's reset and understand where we are. We're a brand new team. We have a lot of, you know, lofty goals and expectations, and we feel comfortable where we're at, and we're not certainly not hiding from those, but we are definitely not a finished product yet. We're looking for this first game to be a measuring stick to find out exactly where we're at and where we can improve on and where we can go from here. But I like where our team's at right now in the sense of I think they've bought into the concept of owning each day and be getting better at the skill set necessary to play productive and winning football. And if we can continue to do that, then these expectations and all the hype that's around some of those individual talents on offense, they'll probably have the statistics at the end of the year to back that up.
We're talking with head coach of the Toledo Rockets, Jason Candle, getting you ready for the opener a little bit later tonight against Elon at the Glass Bowl. Should be a festive occasion. And you're right to bring that up, Coach. I mean, college football, you know, it is what it is. You're going to have players that fluctuate in and out, you know, graduating seniors and all the rest. Though at the same time, at this level at the Mid-American Conference, relative to, say, Michigan or Ohio State in the Big Ten, you know, you're not usually losing, though, guys who are just finishing their sophomore or junior years. And that's despite the fact of the guys you mentioned that are lost from last year's team, you're able to bring some of these other guys back. I mean, you know, honestly, you look at a guy, for example, like Logan Woodside. If this was a bigger program in the Big Ten or something, after a year he had last year, he might have entered the draft. That's not the case in the MAC. So there are positives and negatives, I would say, I guess, being at this level that you're able to retain some guys. But obviously, you know, as you mentioned, you're going to lose some as well. So talk to me a little bit about that. At this level, how important it is to more times than not know that you're going to have some of these guys back for probably their full college careers.
Yeah, I think you can. We're not a minor league system for the NFL, and college football is not that. College football is developmental. It's you're here to get a degree. You're here to play championship football. You're here to embrace and absorb the lessons taught by our great game. You know, and I think our coaching staff really does a good job with that and understands that. You know, it's a part of the program where you're doing things right off the field, and hopefully that translates to doing things right on the field as well when it comes to game time. And yeah, you do. You do have players for 4 to 5 years, and you know, I think back to spring practice, and I feel like Logan Woodside every year I've been at Toledo, Logan Woodside's been out there at spring practice with me, and I've been at Toledo going on 9 years now. So it seems like he's been here forever. But, you know, if he never wants to leave, I'll gladly keep him as long as he wants to stay. you do have some consistency when you come back with some of those guys, like you mentioned him, Cody and Marquise Moore, Trayvon Mathis, some guys on defense that have played a lot of football for us. It gives you a chance to have a starting point, and then from there, what kind of growth can foster from there? And I think that'll give you the true picture of what your football team will look like at the end of the year.
Let's go to the defensive side of the ball, Coach. The thing that jumps out at me, first and foremost, is some of the safety positions. You got some younger guys there mixing it in for some of these positions. Talk to me about some of them.
Young players. I mean, talented players, but young. We've recruited very well here, I think, so far. And, you know, those guys are, you know, you don't just, it's not the end all on signing day. They got to get here, they got to develop, and they have to mature. They'll be tested early on by our opponents, I'm sure. You know, and it'll be, we'll find out very quick what that's going to look like with some of these young guys and how well they step up and answer the bell. So, but you got, you know, guys like Jordan Williams, Ronnie Jones, you know, Josh Tichy returning, kind of, we switched him to free safety, so he's going to be more of a middle field player now than up near the line of scrimmage. You got the Darlow Blue, I think, is an outstanding young defensive back playing our nickel spot. You know, and there's a couple guys at corner. You know, you return Kedar Holloman and Trayvon Mathis from last year's team. Justin Clark is a redshirt freshman corner who's really coming on strong. You got Aaron Covington, who, you know, had the interception in the Northern Illinois game last year to kind of seal the win there. So, you know, you got guys that are, you know, have experience, have played a little bit, and then you got a good mixture of guys who are hungry and ready to show what they've been waiting their turn to do. So, really looking forward to getting the ball kicked off and seeing what this defense has.
We're talking with head coach Jason Candle of the Toledo Rockets. They're getting set for the opener tonight at the Glass Bowl against Elon. Talk to me a little bit about the out-of-conference schedule. I'm liking what I'm seeing. You guys are kind of all over the place in terms of some of the teams you're playing. You got Elon tonight. That's an FCS school. A road game next week at Nevada. Then you got Tulsa. And then you're going down to the U and taking on the Hurricanes. Obviously, of course, in a couple of years, they're going to be coming up to the Glass Bowl. Talk to me about the out-of-conference schedule and how that will help you prepare. Because unlike other years, this time, all four right out the gate before you get into MAC play.
Well, certainly that is a schedule sets up to where it presents a different challenge each week. You know, the week one is the challenge of a new team and, you know, the anticipation of being in front of your home crowd. We're started classes this week, you know, so all the new students are in town. It's just everything's new. And then you follow up to next week. You got to handle the trip to Nevada, play a good team with a new coaching staff, and handle the altitude and the heat. And then from there, you come back home to Glass Bowl to play a 10-win Tulsa team who's coming off a tremendous season and, you know, probably one of the hottest young coaches in the country to be talked about right now. And then you got to go down to the Miami to play the U, like you said, and you. You know, each week presents its different challenges, and we got to handle those. We got to handle the away trips. We got to deal with those. But I think, you know, the big games, the marquee matchup that everybody wants to talk about, are the Tulsa and the Miami. Those are the reasons why you come to Toledo. You want to play in front of great crowds. You want to play in big environments. You want to have a chance to put your brand on national television and spread it throughout the country. And I think our kids certainly buy into that, and our team will be up for the challenge and looking forward to, you know, going and competing against those guys.
Now, before we talk a little more about Elon specifically, who you guys got at the Glass Bowl to open this season tonight, it is your second year, coach, at the helm here with the Toledo Rockets, even though you've obviously been with the program, as you just mentioned a few minutes ago, for a little longer than that. Tell me the differences from your perspective of this going into this second season as opposed to your first season.
Yeah, football coaches are all creatures of habit, and there's no hiding that. You know, you have a routine, and you try to stick to that as much as you can. But I think you always have your ear to the floor, and you always have your ear to your team to see how, you know, they're feeling physically and mentally, and, you know, what the, you know, where their threshold is to the breaking point to when, you know, they need a break or a day off. You know, I think as you transition from year one to year two, you know, you probably have a better attention to detail when it comes to that more than anything. I think there's probably some things in year one that you overlook that you probably pay attention to in year two after some self-evaluation. There's probably some things in year one that you made a bigger deal about that maybe not necessarily are as big a deal as you maybe thought they were in year two. You know, so you're trying to find a routine, and you're trying to, you know, stick to that as best you can. You know, you have a checklist of what each and every day looks like from now until the end of the season, you know, and it's planned out and mapped out. But as you know, when you deal with 18 to 22 year old people, that can be thrown out the window in a heartbeat, you know, because you have a lot of moving parts and that's a balancing act sometimes. But certainly looking forward to, you know, continue to build off of the success we had last year and certainly learn from some of the shortcomings and failures we had and hopefully have a great year.
All right, let's talk about Elon tonight. Coach, head coach Jason Candle, the Toledo Rockets, joining us here on the Extravaganza on the Ticket on this Thursday. It's Elon at the Glass Bowl, 7 o'clock kickoff tonight. They're an FCS, 1AA, whichever term you want to use, type of school. And as you mentioned earlier, Coach, kind of an interesting gauge game for your squad. Tell me a little bit about Elon, what they may present to you, and what you guys are looking to get out of this one.
Yeah, Coach Signetti's taken over a program that, you know, has had a couple tough years, but, you know, certainly a really good football coach, and he's put together a great staff. You know, so they're new schematically on defense and new schematically on offense. You know, you don't have a bunch of stuff to sit and, you know, to look at to prepare, you know, maybe as you would a conference opponent that you played 3 or 4 straight years and kind of know the personnel inside and out. So there'll be new personnel-wise for us, and we got to do a great job of settling into a game plan early on and really take care of what we need to take care of. You know, we got to handle us. You know, there's college football opened up last weekend, and I think you saw a lot of sloppy play in different positions. You saw a lot of flags in games. You saw turnovers. You saw, you know, a lot of coaches with their hands on their hips or on their head, you know, wondering and scratching, you know, what just happened. We have to do a great job. Our staff has to do a great job, and our senior leaders have to do a great job of making sure that that's not the case tonight, and do a good job of making sure we handle what we got to handle.
It's the Toledo Rockets taking on Elon to open the season tonight at the Glass Bowl, 7 o'clock kickoff time. It should be a fun, festive occasion as college football is back. I mean, as you mentioned, Coach, there were a few games this past weekend, but for the majority of teams and schools and fans, it really starts tonight and carries through this weekend. Best of luck out there tonight, Coach, with your squad in opening game for this 2017 season. And hopefully when we reconvene next week, we're talking about a Rockets W.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Go Rockets.
That is head coach of the Toledo Rockets, Jason Candle, joining us here on the Extravaganza. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go here in this Thursday edition of the Extravaganza. More football talk coming your way. John Jansen's at about 4:35. He's part of the Michigan IMG Sports Network. Getting a little preview of Michigan v. Florida coming up on Saturday. Lots more football talk, of course, as we go through hour number two, so stick around.
Oh, Edwin just destroyed a ball to deep left field and gone. Maybe as high as it was far. There's a fly ball deep left field for Frankie Lindor, and it is gone to Souvenir City. Lindor with home run number 25, and he ties the Indians' record for most home runs by a shortstop in a single season. Yon sends a high drive, deep right field, Judge's out of room, it's out of here. Yon Gomes with an opposite field, two out, two run homer. And that might just be the knockout punch.
You know, we got after him. It's a good way to play. It's a long day, but it makes for a really good day. And they get a well-deserved day off, and then we'll try to do it again.
Any offense that has a chance to be successful, you must get consistent play from the quarterback, and you must, you know, have a guy that has the ability to make the other 10 guys around him better, and I certainly believe Logan has that ability, and he proved a lot last year off the charts statistically, and, you know, I think his leadership skills were probably a little underrated last year in what he was able to do and accomplish in his first full season as being a starter. If you're looking at expectations and you're looking at our season coming about, you did lose your leading rusher from last year, you lost the top guy in receptions from last year, you lost your leading tackler on defense, you lost the leading interception leader on defense, you lost your punt returner, and your leading kick returner off of last year's team. Let's reset and understand where we are. We're a brand new team. We have a lot of lofty goals and expectations, and we feel comfortable where we're at. We are definitely not a finished product yet. We're looking for this first game to be a measuring stick to find out exactly where we're at and where we can improve on, where we can go from here. But I like where our team's at right now in the sense of I think they've bought into the concept of owning each day and be getting better at the skill set necessary to play productive and winning football.
Have not heard of Florida announce who their starting quarterback would be. We'd love to have that information. No, we're not announcing our starting quarterback. As I said before, people make a lot of big deal about our roster or not announcing a starting quarterback. I have not seen a starting quarterback come out of Florida. Never any mention of that. Very interesting. So, yes, we'd like to have that information from them. I'm sure they'd like to have it from us, and right now neither is giving that information.
I don't think they're going to play for the Big Ten title this year. I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs. So when you think of Michigan, you think of a great Michigan teams, right? You think of Michigan battles with Ohio State. So if this year rolls around again, and this year they don't finish better than third in their division, I don't care if they lose five games by 2 points. You know what that does? You know what that gives you? So what? I mean, at some point you say, yeah, he's turned the program around. Yeah, he gets in the headlines because he's a quirky guy. This is Michigan. Michigan, this isn't some smaller school that he's trying to lift up. This isn't P.J. Fleck trying to bring Minnesota into the Big Ten and trying to build that team. This is Michigan. So at what point do you say, yeah, all that stuff's cute and good, but you know what we need to do? Beat Ohio State.
I feel very comfortable with the progress made. To say I'm confident, just kind of a warrior, to make sure that we're covering everything that takes to win a game. It's very clear around here what it does. It's follow our plan to win. It's from that point forward last week, the challenge of the game constantly, which I think we do as well as anybody. Those are how you go win a game, and that's our focus right now. Last year was very alarming because our whole team was new. This year's a little more comfort because guys have been in the environment before. This is a whole different set of circumstances because it's on the road of a Big Ten game. But we practice as such, and like I said, Billy Price is snapping a ball to JT everybody as long as they stay healthy, and that's a little more comforting.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Yes, indeed it is. Hour number two of the Extravaganza rolling on now at 10 minutes after 4. Thanks for being with us. Another nice montage there by Jim Cushling. Good conversation, too, in the last segment with our good friend Jason Handel, head coach of the Rockets. They take on Elon. Cush, during the top of the hour break, something happened to the Detroit Tigers. Maybe something positive. Not in the short term, but perhaps in the long run. The Tigers have indeed sent Justin Upton, who's having a tremendous season with a .279 average, 28 dingers, and 94 RBIs, to the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels get Justin Upton on the very last day of the waiver deadline trading period, or the waiver trading deadline is maybe the best way to say that, for players to be available for the postseason. And the Angels are, of course, pushing and trying to scramble their way into a potential wild card spot.
Yeah, and this is kind of a move that apparently, even though I kind of thought they were going to be more quiet, you know, we were focusing a lot this month on would they move Verlander by today. That's obviously, as we know, not going to happen. But word is that this started when late last week, I guess, Justin Upton, you know, told Al Avila and the rest, something that we kind of spitballed about, but we weren't sure that, yeah, if you guys are going to rebuild, then I'm going to opt out of my contract. This offseason specifically, Justin Upton had the ability to opt out of his current deal, which has 4 years, $88.5 million left on it. This was the 1 year he could choose to opt out in the winter. Apparently about a week ago, he told Al Avila that, yes, I'm going to end up opting out since it looks like this is where this team is going, at which point the phone started ringing back and forth. Tigers prospect-wise aren't apparently getting much. None of this is official yet. This has all just been breaking in the last 25 minutes or so. But the reports are they're going to get a double-A pitching prospect, Grayson Long, and then a player to be named later or cash. And if you're thinking, wow, for that monster season, why'd they get so little? Here's why. The Angels are reportedly responsible for the entirety of the remaining contract beyond the current season, and the Angels will be picking up most of what's remaining this year. So, salary dump.
So, a little bit of both. A prorated month of salary this year they'll pay, and then $22 million a year for each of the next 4 years.
Now, Upton, is my understanding, he'll still have the ability to opt out of that deal altogether this winter, but that's no longer the Tigers' problem. That's solely right now on the Angels.
And he's going to L.A.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to L.A., and it's going to a team that is at least in contender status for a wild card spot. He's going to get to play and bat alongside or behind or in front of a guy like Mike Trout. So it could be a nice place for him. And at age 30, I think everybody agrees he did not necessarily pan out and produce enough last year to justify that massive contract that the Tigers gave him this year. He's doing a lot more, but in a season that's wasted, it really doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. So certainly, you know, it fits with what's going on. J.D. Martinez was moved, obviously, and now Justin Upton, another big bat with a bunch of, you know, with great home run power and RBI production going. Grayson Long, by the way, just in case anybody is wondering, he is a former third-round pick, so a pretty highly regarded guy. 8-6 with a 2.52 ERA in 23 starts with the Angels Double A club. So that's not bad. I mean, you know, he's obviously having some success at that level. I don't know his age. I don't know how long
he's been 23. In the minors. He is 23, and okay. And for MLB.com, he's the Angels' ninth-rated prospect. So this is a decent prospect.
That's not bad. All things considered, along with another player to be named later, who will most certainly be, you know, not as highly rated in their system.
That's one of the things being worked out. They're still working out if it's Cash or the player.
Right. And maybe they'll get a second round pick from the Celtics in 2020. Can you believe they held that up over that?
Anticlimactic. I mean, I was expecting at some point we'd be doing, oh my gosh, the trade got voided. Just give me an extra 2020 second round pick that's via the Heat. It's not even the Celtics' actual pick.
So 3 years from now, they'll get a player in the second round who will undoubtedly not make the team and end up playing in Turkey for probably the next 6 years.
That or it gets traded. One of those two.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just, yeah, come on, really?
So anticlimactic for that. We wasted a week of energy and drama for that. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about will they send Jay Crowder back and get Jason Tatum instead, you know, or somebody else who's a better prospect, a better player, you know, long term, and you know, all it was is nope, you guys keep what we gave you, and here's a second that we don't need and that will amount to nothing
right.
in 2020.
Yeah,
but, you know, so whatever reason that it's now is Isaiah Thomas's hip healed? That's what I want to know.
And so
because at the end of the day. That's what this was about.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. He's more hurt than we thought he was when we made the deal, which you can buy because, you know, that's why there has to be physicals given, and everybody has to pass their physicals before deals can be consummated.
Right.
So we gave him a physical, and our docs say it's a lot more serious than perhaps we thought when we agreed to this deal, and perhaps maybe more serious than your docs led us to believe. So we're not happy with this. If we're giving you Kyrie bleeping Irving, you better give us something better than this, because what if his hip isn't okay? So what that turns into then is the Celtics saying, okay, here's a second-round pick 3 years from now in 2020, and so suddenly now the hip is okay? Because I don't care if they get I don't care if it's a first-round pick in 2020, to be honest with you. The problem here is the health of the star player in return. You traded a 26 points per game guy who averaged 6 assists a game and is one of the great offensive talents in the NBA, talking about Kyrie Irving, for a 28.5 point a game guy who also averages about 6 assists. And those are the two key components. Our team sent to them is younger and is bigger and has a championship and has proven to be able to play in the NBA Finals at extraordinarily high clutch levels, something the other guy hasn't. So as such, you also have to give us a little more, and that includes Jay Crowder, a very valuable piece who can do some things. He's not going to be an all-star, but he's a very good supporting player who can play some defense on the perimeter and score and shoot a little bit. And, oh, by the way, also a 7-foot big, young kid, prospect type, won't pay dividends probably until 2 or 3 years down the road of development if he ever does. And then, most importantly, a first-round non-protected pick next year in order to find a young star of the future to replace Isaiah if indeed we don't keep him with a long-term max deal. And, of course, to replace, and we use that word very loosely, of course, LeBron James. As we try to make sure that our franchise stays viable in the post-LeBron / post-Kyrie and possibly post-Isaiah Thomas years. So this strange addition of a second rounder in 2020 now suddenly making it worth the gamble on Isaiah Thomas's hip, to me, is very, very weird. Either, one, they don't care about the hip. This was just a way for them to try to swindle another little piece of value, an asset from the Celtics, or B, they completely overplayed in the media what their doctors told them, that they think the hip is fine. It's not this they don't care about it, but they think it's actually fine. And this was just, you know, quite frankly, a little bit of poker played by Coby Altman, who just kind of looked at Danny Ainge and said, we're not doing this. We're not going to have a press conference introducing Isaiah until we get this worked out. We don't trust this. Give us something more. And as long as he made Ainge blink, he probably said, win. It's a victory. I'll take it, and now we'll go on with the trip.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah, if you're a Cavs fan going forward, now that this is all settled, the question is, when will Isaiah Thomas be able to be there? For what it's worth, he was quoted just the other day because, you know, he's now starting to get questions about this, that, look, I'm fine. When I will return to the court, and I'll be the same as I have been. We shall see. Just spitballing here, Bob, part of me is thinking – I wouldn't expect Isaiah, just on a safe side assumption, because nobody's really telling us on this hip. Nobody's giving us any official word, whether it's Cavs, Celtics, or somebody else. Nobody is at this point of what exactly is going on and how long this is truly going to take. So just spitballing, I got a hunch he'll be out till early November. That's just my hunch. So if you're a Cavs fan, well, I'm going to go ahead and say it like this. This is actually the other reason you signed Derrick Rose to a vet minimum.
That's exactly right. And quite frankly, Jose Calderon.
Now Jose Calderon's actually going to break camp with the Cavs. I was sort of expecting maybe they'd cut him loose at, you know, camp time, because right now that this is all finalized, they have 17 guys under contract. You can only have 15. But assuming Isaiah Thomas with Rose were there, I figured they may even dump Calderon before camp ends, but now that won't happen. He'll actually take the floor a few games. Just watch.
Until we find out exactly what the real deal is with that hip. And again, maybe the doctors may have completely overplayed that, or at least the Cavs PR people and maybe Coby Altman overplayed that a little bit. By the way, one other quick note on Cavs news. As we kind of bring you a lot of really interesting, you know, transaction-type stuff this half hour, Justin Upton, if you just turned on the radio and you did not hear, Justin Upton is no longer a Tiger. The slugger, the 30-year-old slugger, is now an Angel. He'll be working alongside Mike Trout and the boys, trying to make a playoff push there, try to make the wild card game. Upton, 279, 28 dingers, 94 RBIs, having a tremendous season. He's a four-time All-Star now in 11 seasons with Arizona, San Diego, and, of course, the Tigers. He goes on this waiver deadline day, trade day, in order to be eligible for the playoffs in exchange for a double-A pitcher starter named Grayson Long, is only 23 and is having very good success at double-A. He's had 23 starts, and he is 8-6, which is neither here nor there, but the 2.52 ERA indicates a guy moving through the system with very, very good success, and perhaps also a player to be named later, or some cash to help offset some things. So Tigers save about $88 million over the next 4 years, plus a month's prorated salary this year that the Angels will pick up, and that's where we are. Now, just to kind of throw it out there, because we brought up the Kyrie Irving trade being finalized to the Boston Celtics, Jim, Dan Gilbert took to Twitter today. Did you see it?
Now I don't want to.
Well, no, it's okay. Really, it really is.
I'm sorry. I hear the words Dan Gilbert and Twitter. I'm thinking, oh, this can't be good.
Well, if you did not hear the news, you know what's going on out of Cleveland. There was a deal in place to renovate the Quicken Loans Arena. They're not moving into a new building yet. For crying out loud, the thing was only built in, what, 1994?
94, 95 was the first year.
It's Progressive Field. It's in no way, shape, or form in need of being replaced. The Pistons needed a new building, and are getting it, and that's great, along with the wings and all that stuff. No. But it is a renovation thing. They wanted to host the All-Star game in a couple of years. I think the NBA made some suggestions on some things they would like to see in an arena in order to host the All-Star game. So they had an agreement with the city for a $140 million renovation. The Cavaliers, Dan Gilbert, was going to pay half, and the city was going to use public funding. City and county are going to get the other $70 million from public funding, which, of course, would be a source of some controversy. You know, why should the city pay and the taxpayers pay for, you know, this multi-billionaire's building? Well, it was challenged. That agreement signed on by the city council in Cleveland was challenged, and it went to the Ohio Supreme Court, who said that challenge is upheld. There must be a referendum, a vote on in the city of Cleveland, not the council, but the city of Cleveland voters can vote as to whether or not they want to pay that $70 million. So rather than go through with that referendum and then make the agreement, you know, if of course it passed, they pulled it. Dan Gilbert pulled and backed out of the commitment to split that cost of the Q, they called it the Q transformation. And it led some people, perhaps, you know, a little bit impulsively to say, uh-oh, Gilbert's PO'd and he's pulling out of this deal to renovate the Q. What does this mean? Now, you're talking about a city that was blindsided in 1995 when Art Modell announced, taking the Browns to Baltimore. So people kind of freaked out a little bit and feared the worst, prompting this tweet from Dan Gilbert about, I don't know, 3 hours ago or so. It was around 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, whatever. And I'll read it directly. Quote, CLE, let's put any silly rumors to rest. I will never move the Cleveland Cavaliers out of Cleveland, period. And that's unconditional, end quote. So that quote, you know, is very unequivocal. It is very unconditional. It's very, very direct. And it was meant just to nip anything in the bud. Now, remember, this is a guy who's very opportunistic. This is a guy whose corporation, of course, is in Detroit, a guy who made, you know, still has strong ties to Detroit, but picked it up and went and said, I'm going to buy the franchise over in Cleveland from the Guns, did, and now, of course, has brought a championship there and is a, you know, huge, huge part of the city economic and sporting infrastructure there. He'll go wherever he has to go to make money. It's what he does. So for some people, his willingness to kind of bebop from Detroit to Cleveland and Detroit back, or Cleveland back to Detroit in certain business ventures, you know, not that, of course, you'd take the Cavaliers franchise to Detroit, but just his habit, if you will, or his willingness to go from one city to another, whichever one is the right one for him to make the most money, is just enough to scare people into saying, well, if he feels like there's a bigger profit in having this franchise in another city, well, then the Cavaliers have a reason to be worried. So he wanted to nip that right in the bud right now, and I think that was a wise, even though he's being mocked on Twitter, he's being mocked mercilessly, as people say, you know, his last guarantee was that we will win a championship before King Nothing, LeBron James, ever wins one. We all know how some of his previous promises and guarantees were because of that letter after the South Beach thing in 2010. So some people are mocking him, but for me, Jim, I think it's a strong statement to make saying don't even think that because this renovation deal is blowing up that I'm ever going to move this team. No, we're here. We'll figure the rest of this out later.
Yeah, and I can understand why a Cavs fan might think that and prompting eventually Gilbert to mention the tweet that he just did today. The one blatant ramification I can say now that the renovation is not going to happen is there won't be any All-Star game in the NBA coming to Cleveland anytime soon next. I recall Adam Silver in the last year when that came up saying, well, you got to do some renovation to the queue before we come for an All-Star game.
Yeah, that was the first part that I mentioned.
That's what I thought.
The reason for the push for, you
know, right. That's why. Sake. Yeah, because it was kind of out of nowhere, in at least from my perspective.
Because
anyway,
it's not needed. You know,
I don't think so.
To me, first of all, Adam Silver can go pound, you know, salt. Because
right.
That venue is what, 23 years old.
Yep.
And it has been kept up and has been updated and has been, you know, meticulously prepared and kept as an NBA arena. It is still an extraordinarily new arena. I mean, in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how old was the Palace before the Pistons?
The Palace would have been the early 80s.
And how old was the Joe?
The Joe would have been earlier than that. I can't remember the exact date.
I mean, if it was one of those, or like the old Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. You know, the Browns and Indian Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get it. But this is a 23-year-old building that is still architecturally as sound as anything in 2017 as it was when it was designed in 1994. To me, Adam Silver can say, well, if you want the All-Star game, you got to change this. Bullcrap. But having said that, he did say it. And so Dan Gilbert, responding, said, okay, we'll push for renovations and transformations that are earlier than necessary just so we get this. Now, In the big picture, it might have been a wash if you get $70 million public dollars to pay the other half of the $140 million quote, transformation, and then you do get an all-star game, there is going to be tens of millions of dollars of economic impact felt by the city in all of the expenditures that comes with hosting an entire all-star week. We know that. Would it be all the way up to $70 million? Probably not, but it might be close and it might have offset some of that while improving the venue for other events going on, you know, into the future. So there might be, I'm not arguing on behalf of the deal that they just quashed, but I'm just saying he might be a bad guy in a lot of ways. I don't think there's a reason to just automatically condemn either A, his decision to tell the commissioner, okay, we'll try to get this thing renovated, or B, to pull the plug on it now because of some disagreements on how it's going to be funded. I can see his point in doing it. It might have been a wash. I can also see his point now in pulling out because there it doesn't seem to be enough support publicly for their half of this. So it's time to kind of, you know, drop back 10 yards and huddle up and figure out the next move. It doesn't mean that, and then to make sure that everybody knows while we're huddling, we're not moving. There doesn't seem to be anything wrong with saying that.
No, there doesn't. And, you know, given his reputation, that's part of the reason why he felt the tweet was probably necessary, you know, earlier today. Although I never put it, would not put it past in the longer term. And it wouldn't even to me be him specifically. I remember, you know, thinking back in 2010 after, you know, LeBron makes his decision to go to Miami, I'm thinking of long-term scenarios, and one of them I envisioned, honestly, at the time, Bob, was, and then when the Cavs are irrelevant long enough, give it about 15 years, and they'll move out of Cleveland to Seattle or something anyway.
Yeah.
Because let's remember, and we're Cleveland guys, so we can attest to this, you take LeBron off, and the Cavs are the third wheel of Cleveland sports.
That's exactly correct. With that, I mean, they are the ones who ended the drought, the 1964 last, you know, professional championship team. But even so, they are third. There's no, it's still a Brownstown first and foremost, foremost, followed by the Indians out there, and then, of course, into the Cavaliers. Okay, here's what I got to do. I want to tell you and remind you, if you have not yet held your fantasy football draft, you know where you got to get, right? You got to get to B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings. I'll tell you what. If you're a commissioner of your league and you want your owners to have a great time and really have a great draft, the first impression is the only impression. Host it at B-Dubs. You'll get a free draft kit. You'll also get a free a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, and three shareables, all at a special draft price to feed your whole league. So come on in and start your fantasy season right at Buffalo Wild Wings at participating locations while supplies last. And also don't forget, the B-Dubs Fast Break lunch menu, whether you're there for a draft or not, get there for lunch because all the highlights from the regular menu are discounted at lunchtime every Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. When you're thinking sports, you know you're thinking B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. All right, we're going to talk Michigan football coming up with John Jansen, who is, of course, is a former Michigan offensive lineman, also a former Detroit Lion, and he is going to give us a look at the Wolverines' season opening tilt against Florida down in Dallas in Jerry World. That's going to be an awful lot of fun coming up this weekend. So we're going to talk about this top 25 matchup, preseason number 11 against preseason number 17. Do those rankings mean anything, especially when you only have five returning starters for the Wolverines? Should they really be ranked 11th? We'll ask John Jansen, and we'll preview that game as we continue our college football kind of a tour. Yesterday, Paul Keels. Earlier this week, Mike Jinks of BG. Today, Jason Candle of UT. And now we'll get to John Jansen of the Michigan Radio Network. So all of that coming up right here on ESPN 106.5 The Team.
Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza. ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Yes, indeed. Rolling onward, are we? It's 4:39. We're going to be talking college football because the Big Ten season and really the entire college season gets underway tonight. But Ohio State and Indiana tonight. Michigan opens up the season in Dallas against Florida. And coming up in just a minute or two, we're going to check in with John Jansen of the Michigan Radio Network, former Wolverine, former Detroit Lion. And before we start talking more college football, we got to talk more NFL football as well. That season, less than 10 days away. In fact, it's a week away. They start the season on Thursday night next week as well. But the first NFL Sunday, about 9 days away. And you know what that means, right? Fantasy football. If you haven't had your draft yet, listen. make sure that you are paying attention to FanDuel. This is how you really play fantasy. Because you want to know why? No matter what, how you draft, no matter what you choose for week one, you can change it if you didn't like it in week two. And if you didn't like that, you can change it again. That's what makes FanDuel fantasy football for everyday fans. You don't get your entire season ruined because somebody gets hurt week one. You start your own new roster each and every week that you play. And there's new contests for everybody, beginners, veterans, kings of your own league, every single week. And you know what? Contests start at just a buck. So pick your contest, choose your roster, and then watch your score in real time, and maybe you'll be one of the 2.5 million people that have already won cash prizes playing fantasy sports at FanDuel or on FanDuel. It is phenomenal. We're going to have a listener league, an extravaganza listener league, so be paying attention in the coming days for that. We're going to pick our teams. We'll have a team. We want you to play with us, and then we'll battle it out, and we'll have a good time. Here's what you do to get started, though. You've got to get online at FanDuel.com and join now. Hit the Join Now button and use my code FRANCE in order to get in, F-R-A-N-T-Z. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million. That's over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. So get to FanDuel.com right now. Sign up with the promo code FRANCE, F-R-A-N-T-Z. That's FanDuel.com, promo code FRANCE, F-R-A-N-T-Z, void where prohibited. All right. So now we've got, do we have John Jansen on the line, Jim Cushman? I have been looking forward to talking a little Michigan football because I'm looking forward to finding out who the quarterback is going to be. And I know John's going to spill that for us right here on live radio in Northwest Ohio because Jim Harbaugh won't tell anybody. Maybe John Jansen will. John, thanks for joining us right here on The Ticket. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on. And you hit the nail on the head there. It's time for college football, and I can't wait for tonight's games, and definitely can't wait for Saturday. So it's going to be an exciting weekend.
Yeah, no question about it. And I love the idea. Three top 25, preseason top 25 matchups in college football in week one, including number 11 Michigan and number 17 Florida. So I think that's very, very cool for college football to really have meaningful games right out of the gate that are going to impact the college football playoff decision-making process, you know, 3 months from now. So let's start there. Well, actually, let's start with the kind of little joke I told at the beginning. I know you're not going to reveal anything that Jim Harbaugh won't reveal, but tell us your impression of this kind of quarterback battle. You know, we've had several weeks now of camp going on and practices going on, and Coach Harbaugh kind of playing it coy if Wilson Spade is going to be the starter again, if the fifth-year senior John O'Korn is going to be the guy, if young Brandon Peters is going to be the guy. What's your gut telling you how this is all going to play out, John?
Well, my gut tells me it'll be Wilton Spade, and what my gut tells me as well, having been in this situation before, is that it's a great symbol to the team that it doesn't matter who you are, it didn't matter what you did last year, it doesn't matter what you did last week, it's who's going to give us the best chance to win this Saturday, and that competition is going to drive these guys, whether it's O'Korn or Spade or anybody else that in the stable of quarterbacks that he has. It drives that competition. It makes these guys better every day, and it forces them to concentrate and make sure that they stay ahead of whoever it is, or they're catching up if they're behind. And, when you take a look at from the rest of the team's perspective, hey, if that quarterback position is up for grabs, we all know what Wilton Spate did last year. We know what he's capable of doing. I better make sure that my job stays secure and I keep improving in my job. Because they're all penciled in, and it doesn't even matter who's the starter of week one. It'll be the same question come week two. Who's gonna field the team? Who are the 11 gonna be? Who's the quarterback? Who's the offensive lineman, receivers, running backs? And it's gonna change throughout the year, and that's the beauty of competition.
John, does Wilton Spate need to be elite? Does he need to be one of the country's elite quarterbacks for Michigan to win the Big Ten and perhaps qualify for the playoff and push toward what Michigan should be doing, which is pushing for a national championship every year, the way their counterparts down in Columbus have been doing? Is there pressure on him to be elite?
No, there's no pressure on him to be elite. This is the ultimate team game. And whoever the quarterback is going to be, if it is Wilton Spate, what he has to go out there and do is utilize the weapons that he has. There's going to be some great new receivers out on the edge. Donovan Peoples, Jones, Tariq Black have both had great falls and they had great springs. So they're going to be weapons that he has to use. He's got Chris Evans and another couple of other guys coming out of the backfield. He's got a stable of tight ends that he can throw the ball to, led by Tyrone Wheatley Jr. And so he just has to go out there and do much the same as he did last year. Distribute the football, make good decisions, and understand, and this goes for everybody that touches the ball on offense, protect the football. If we have the football and we take good care of it, we don't turn the ball over, and we make sure that we put our defense in good positions, then we're going to win more games than not, and we're going to have a chance at the end of the year to be talked about in that college football playoff. So we don't need a guy to go out there and be a superstar and try and win games for us. We just ask the guys to go out there, fill your role, do what you're supposed to do, and don't worry about anything more than that. Just do your job.
John Jansen is our guest from the Michigan Radio Network. Of course, he is a former Wolverine, a 1997 national champion, of course, a longtime NFL veteran as well, including a little bit with the Detroit Lions. John, the reason I asked about that with Spate is because they have, the Wolverines have such a small number of experienced guys back, particularly on the offensive side. They lost so many of their weapons. They have four starters back on offense, and he's one of them, and it's the most important position. And you just wonder, does he have to carry a little bit of some of these guys, you know, to really kind of, you know, Chris Evans, is he going to be the feature back? I don't know. There's a lot of talent in the backfield. Who's going to step up and replace Chesson and be a go-to wide receiver? I don't know. But the one thing that is consistent I have in terms of a weapon would be the quarterback, if it is, and I think you're right, it's going to be Wilton Spate. But that's the reason I wonder, does he have to be a little bit better or elite or whatever, at least until some of these other guys, you know, find their way as first-time starters?
Well, he needs to go out there and be a leader, and that's really where he needs to be elite. He needs to use, he needs to be the guy that everybody can look to and never be too high, never be too low. And if you watch his demeanor, that's kind of how he is naturally. And so when you have him out at that quarterback position, you've got young guys that are going to be on, you know, in his front five on offensive line. By default, you're going to have some guys that have never taken snaps in major college football. Those guys are going to be looking to him for his leadership ability, to calm them down, to let them know that no matter what happens, everything's going to be okay. Here's what we're going to do to be successful on the next play. Here's what we're going to do to win the game. And that's really where I look for him to be elite, is in his leadership abilities. And you know, in terms of his performance on the field, like I said before, he just has to go out there and be his own guy. He doesn't have to be a superstar quarterback, just distribute the football. And let the guys, once it's done, let the guys who have the ball do what they do best and making guys miss and making plays. When they get back to the huddle, hey, that play is over. It's on to the next play.
No question about it. Now let's talk more about what I just said, the fact that the experience – I mean, I don't know about you. I've never really been a big believer in preseason polls anyway, even when you do have a lot of guys coming back because everything else is different. But in this particular case – you know, the Wolverines at number 11 is a very, very solid start in the polls for whatever they're worth, considering they have just the four starters back on offense, just one on defense. Jabril Peppers is gone. So many other very important pieces are going to be gone. Do you buy that? Do you buy them as the number 11 team in the preseason, considering there's so many new guys that are going to have to step in as first-time starters and positions all over the roster?
Well, I do, and because what you're looking at in terms of a preseason poll is really expectations. And the expectations for the athletes and for the recruiting classes that they've had over the last couple of years is that they're supposed to be good football players. And when you're dealing with an unknown, whether it's a new coaching staff, new players, new season, whatever it is, you have to go on what your expectations for this team are. And the expectations are with the top five class 2 years ago in 16, another top five class here in 17, that you should now have the talent to fill in for a Jabril Peppers. And we've got Khalik Hudson who's going to try and do that. You should have, when Tackle Charlton gets drafted in the first round, well, now we've got Rashawn Gary, who is a sophomore, has to step up and fill that role. And those guys, it's not that they don't have experience. They don't have starting experience, but they all saw the field last year. You're not going to have any true freshmen out there who have never been in college football before starting that game, at least I don't think. And so it's not that, it's just that unknown of these 11, we haven't seen these 11 guys on the field before, but they're supposed to be very talented. They've been touted that way. Jim Harbaugh and his staff are supposed to be great at developing this talent and putting it on the field. So, you know, I think 11 is about appropriate. And after the first week, we'll be able to take stock and see, hey, should they move up? Should they move down? And what everybody else is doing.
John Jansen, former Wolverine, former Detroit Lion for the 2009 season, made his career in the NFL, mostly with the Washington Redskins, of course, joining us to break down the Wolverines, not only this season, but week one against the Gators down in Dallas. First of all, before we talk about the actual matchup against Florida, the neutral site game, the idea of starting in Jerry World, do you think the kids really appreciate that? Do you think they enjoy that, or do you think they'd rather be up in the Big House?
That's kind of a toss-up because, you know, a lot of these kids, everybody has a dream of playing in the NFL. And, you know, let's face it, there's a handful that will and there's a lot that won't. And this is an opportunity for these guys to play in an NFL stadium, see an NFL locker room, get the NFL experience that a lot of kids will never have that opportunity. So it's a great experience for these kids. Put that against running out of the tunnel in the Big House. For me, because I've had that experience of the NFL, I would take the experience of running out of the Big House any day of the week. But it's a great opportunity. We got down here yesterday. They're going to have a chance to see the Dallas Cowboys facility and you know, see the stadium. And I've never played in this stadium either. When I was with the Redskins, we played in Old Texas Stadium. So I'm excited to see the great big scoreboard and see a game played in this one. So it'll be a lot of fun for everybody involved.
All right, now let's talk about the matchup. Florida, number 17 overall in the preseason rankings. But as we know, seven players suspended for various disciplinary reasons, including perhaps their best playmaker. I don't think that'll lull Jim Harbaugh or anybody else, you know, in maize and blue. Or just maize. How about that, too? Just maize.
Yeah.
For the first time. I don't think that's gonna lull anybody into a false sense of complacency. Florida's still very, very dangerous, but that doesn't hurt to be missing some of the pieces they are. How do you break down the game?
Well, you know, it obviously helps that their leading receiver's out. Their leading running back was suspended yesterday. So it's Florida's going to be missing some guys. But let's face it, nobody's really worried about their offense because they did announce that Franks is going to be the starting quarterback for them. But you know, not a lot of expectations out of that offense this year. The concern that everybody has is on, you know, the Florida defense. They've got a couple of defensive ends that are absolute terrors. They were a young defense last year, very good defense last year, and they're almost all back. So, you know, that's really where I want to see where has Michigan grown this offseason? Our offensive line last year wasn't, you know, exactly what we wanted it to be. Who's going to be filling in there? There's going to be some young guys. How do they work together? How do they develop an identity and pound the football, get that running game going, allow Chris Evans to get into the line of scrimmage, make a couple of cuts, give Wilton Spade or John O'Korn, whoever the quarterback is going to be, the time to utilize all those weapons we talked about at the beginning of this segment. And that's the concern I have is because – and I think the over-under – in Vegas right now is about 45, and I think that's even high. I think this is going to be a very low-scoring game just because you're looking at two very good defenses and two unproven offenses.
I agree with that. I think defenses are going to play, are going to rule the day. There's no question about that. What do you think about the maize jerseys? Would you have liked to play in that when you were at Michigan?
You're going to try and get me in trouble here, aren't you? But
No, not at all.
I think they're kind of cool. As most offensive linemen are, and I'm no different. I'm a traditional guy. I like our white jerseys and I like our blue jerseys. But you know, it's exciting because the kids are excited about it. They're fired up about doing something that's unique and special. Whether it's playing here in Jerry World or wearing the maize uniforms, they're excited. And that's what this is about. It's about creating excitement and experience for these student athletes. And right now, there's no more excitement than with Michigan football.
I would agree with that. Hey, John, I want to ask you one last thing before you go, because, you know, we're here in Northwest Ohio, and there's a lot of Lions fans that listen to us here, and a lot of Michigan fans as well, and you represented both. Obviously, most of your NFL career was with the Redskins. But still, if you had a chance to go back and play one more football game, would you rather go out and play as a Wolverine, or would you rather go back and play one more game in the National Football League?
Well, that's the easiest question anybody's ever asked me. I would go back and play. I would give it all back, whatever I made in the NFL, whatever I did in the NFL, and just to play one more game for Michigan. It was such a great experience. I loved every minute of it. And I had an opportunity to start 50 games. I started more games than anybody in the history of the University of Michigan, and I'm still looking for number 51.
See, now that's just greed. You know, you already had 50. Anyone want another one?
hey, we always want more.
And by the way, I kind of knew what the answer would be. You had a wonderful career, especially with the Redskins in the NFL. You know, you played, what, 9 seasons? And yet you'd rather go back and play one more for your alma mater. And you know what? I would have been surprised if you had said anything else. John, thanks for the preview. Really great breakdown. It was an awful lot of fun chatting with you. And maybe we can do it again sometime as the season rolls on.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, and go Blue.
Much appreciation, John. John Jansen, former Wolverine, former Redskin, former Lion, and wants to put on the uniform again. Now, I mentioned Kush, that John played his last season in the National Football League with the Lions.
Right.
And that's a perfect segue to what we have right now. We have Lions tickets to give away to our wonderful listeners right here on the ticket. See what we got going there? A little bit of symbiosis. Yeah. We are the ticket, and we have got tickets. We have got Lions trivia. Jim, tell us about the tickets.
All right. Basically, it's for the opener coming up on the 10th of September at Ford Field against Arizona. We got a pair of these. In fact, we got more than just a pair. We're going to be doing this kind of thing.
Every day up until the opener.
Exactly. Every day up until we get to the opener at the end of next week. And I put my thinking cap on, opened up some stat books, and I wrote down a whole bunch of fun trivia. Some you Lions fans should get some. They're going to be trickier.
Here's what we're going to do, just so people know. I'm going to give you a question now, and this is going to be the old-fashioned way, where I'm just going to, only because of time. We're running out of time here. We got to get ready for drive time with Mike Miller. I'm just going to ask the question, and the first caller with the correct answer is going to get these tickets to the Lions and Cardinals on opening day, or the season opener. It's weird. You say opening day, it's kind of like a baseball thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to work. Anyway, but in other days, we're going to do this a little bit differently. We're not going to tell you what the question is ahead of time. We're going to be asking you to call. We're going to take your calls cold, and we're going to ask you a question. The first person to answer their question correctly will win the tickets for that day. But that's going to have to start tomorrow, because for now, we are just going to do it this way. We're going to ask you, I got plenty of them to choose from here. Jimmy did a very nice job. How about this? We all know who the leading rusher in Detroit Lions history is, and this one isn't very difficult either, but who's second on the Lions career rushing list? If you know the answer, be the first correct caller with it to 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065, and we will set you up with the first pair of Lions season opening tickets that we have for you. From your friends right here at the ticket. So that's what we're going to do, is we're on our way out the door. Going to make room now for Mr. Mike Miller as drive time is coming your way. We'll have our winner off the air. We'll announce his name tomorrow, and we'll do some more. We'll have a little bit more fun with these tickets and with the trivia questions tomorrow right here on the Extravaganza. So until tomorrow, have a great night tonight. And as I say, stay where you are, because Mike Miller is standing by with drive time right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.